Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you? It's so good to see your face.
I'm so glad to be back.
For those of you who did listen to our show last week, if you thought it was Groundhog Day, it was. Poor Kelly was sick, and so in the last minute, we didn't have a guest because our guest had canceled.
Yes.
So we opted to just do a replay. So you got to hear from our new sponsors, though,
yes,
twice, which is very exciting. We have Vantage Point Recovery has taken on our show, and we're going to let you have a word from our sponsor.
Are you getting tired of trying to create a positive life with a negative mind? Vantage Point Recovery believes that the potential wholeness and well-being of our clients depends on a systematic approach to developing an authentic and fulfilling life. Specializing in the treatment of individuals struggling with mental health and substance use disorders, we believe that your journey is our journey. Call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be able to create a shift in the thinking of you or a loved one.
Yay, Vantage. Yeah,
yes.
They're a great group of people there. So check them out. They have a great website also. If you know anybody that needs help in that area or for yourself, they're right there for you. In fact,
yeah.
I was able to refer to a couple people to them already.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really exciting. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So you're feeling better, but now you got a cold.
Now I sound like Fran Drescher, who may be on our show at some point. But I had this like food poisoning from a raw juice. Only in L.A. do you get like food poisoning from like a raw juice.
Where did you get it from?
Or maybe the farmer's market.
Oh, that's
yes.
Right. Probably too hot. Probably the stuff.
It was in a cooler.
Really?
It was fine. I went to get my son's like Tempa, this only stuff that he eats. And like next door is like this raw juice. I'm like, all right, I'll get a raw juice. And I think that's the culprit. And so, yeah, so then I had this food poisoning. And then a couple of days later, I get this like massive cold. So my immunity is just shot.
Oh,
I know.
Poor baby. I know you have a good story. I have a sad story. Last week, my poor kitty cat, Mr. Prowler, he was projectile vomiting a couple weeks ago.
And I gave it to
totally,
him.
I know, like, really? Osmosis through the phone? And then he was better.
Yeah.
And then last week, like Friday-ish, he just started again, and he was listless, and I was freaking out. And I went to, took him to, it was like 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night on Saturday night, took him to the emergency vet.
Oh.
They never go to the vet because they never go outside, and they're never, ever sick. And they're 11 years old. And I just looked at his eyes, and he was looked so sad. And then it was so weird. He's totally better, by
good.
The way.
Oh, thank God. I got nervous.
But this was the weirdest part. He's all better. He was such a trooper. He hates the car, you know, just howling in the car. But he was like, the next day, he was fine. But when I got to this place, the lady says, "You've been here before." And I said, "No, I haven't." So, what about Bun Bun? Bun Bun? And what about, because that was my rabbit. And what about Baxter? And I'm like, "Baxter, I've not been here." And she said, "Yeah, it's when you had to put him down." I completely blanked out that I had been to this place because I was so traumatized
that
in those
sense.
Things. And then we walked into the room and like
wow.
It all flooded back. So I was in trauma.
I can imagine.
Christopher, you just handle Prowler because I'm just I don't want him to feel my sadness and my nervousness. But it was just so strange.
But he's okay.
He's all better. He's totally fine. And you know, they have no memory. So he's still running around
Rad
the house
fine.
Going, "Mom, I want food. Meow, meow, meow," like constantly.
That's so good.
You know, he could stand to lose a pound or two. He's 18 pounds. He's pretty big boy.
Oh, so
but his
sweet.
Brother was sad too because he could tell that he wasn't
feeling
well.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad you're better. I'm sorry you have a cold. All right. I know you told me you had a
story. Yes. I have a miracle story.
Okay. Let's hear it.
My 3.5-year-old pooped on the potty.
Yay. Oh, this is celebration.
I'm not kidding. This is like, I told you I was getting wipes and a care package ready for his wife at 27 when I walked him down the freaking aisle in a pull-up. Like literally, I like went to school and he's like, "Mom, I made a poo-poo in the potty." And I'm like, I've heard that one before. So I like literally had to confirm it with the teacher. And she's like, "Yep, it was small, but it was a poop." And I was like, literally, I think I did like a cartwheel in the middle of his preschool.
This is awesome news.
So excited. So
this
we took him out for ice cream.
Yep.
This is the best news I've heard like all week. I'm not
kidding. And now, consistent? Is he?
No.
No.
Please. So he did it once and then wanted to go back in the diaper and yada yada, but we're getting there.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I've been changing a man for the past like year. Do you know what I mean? Like,
gosh.
This is enough already.
Enough.
I'm ready to move on.
Inspired by the fossil farm.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly.
And the airplane ride home. We won't even talk about that. Anyway, okay, we have a great show for you today. Today we have Janice Spindell and her daughter Carly Spindell, the most famous matchmakers. Janice Spindell is an icon in the matchmaking industry. With almost 2,000 successful marriages, Janice is continuously acknowledged for doing the job she was born to do. Janice has been featured on over 100 specials worldwide on love, dating, and relationships, including Dr. Phil, The Today Show, 60 Minutes, CNN, The O'Reilly Factor, and many others. Carly Spindell is passionate about spreading love across the country. With over 85 successful marriages, Carly is a pioneer in the industry. Carly has been featured on Eyewitness News, Sunrise Australia, and Good Day New York. Carly has been seen in the New York Observer, Elle Magazine, Thrillist, I don't know that one, Cranes, and Fortune Magazine. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
We're so excited.
It sounds like the potty thing is a very big ordeal. I remember those days.
Oh, it's with my kids. I'm not kidding you. Like, literally, I was getting prepared that like he was going to be like 8, and I would have that 8-year-old who's like who like still needs their mom to change them. Yeah,
they say they never go to kindergarten without a diaper on.
I don't know. I was ready.
I have no experience with that yet.
Okay,
you want mine? Take them for a few weeks.
Kelly's always willing to farm them out for a little while. So funny. They are great kids, though. We make fun of their little habits and stuff, but these two boys are very special.
Thank God they're cute.
And my daughter is fully grown and just as special. Well, ladies, okay, so tell us how you got started in this field of matchmaking.
So cool. Yeah, I can't wait to hear about this.
Who should go first?
Oh.
25 years ago, or I should say 25 plus years ago, I started fixing up friends by being a people person and talking to people wherever I go. I'm the one that's always talking at the woman at the salon who's getting her hair shampooed next to me. I'm the one that's in a department store that can't make a decision on a pair of shoes, so I ask every pretty woman in the department which color I should get. And I have the gift of gab. I can talk to anyone, anywhere, anytime. And it just so happens that I put together 14 of my guy friends 25 years ago, and they all decided to get married.
Wow.
So that's basically when I looked at my husband and looked at the phone and said, I think I might have this niche, and a matchmaker was born.
That's awesome. So cool.
Yeah, so exciting. And Carly, how did you just follow suit in your mom's footsteps, or was this something that was an independent passion of yours?
I followed suit. I'm a little less outgoing and sometimes miss talking to a few people. It happened the other night at the gym. But I am a people person also, and growing up with Janice as my mother, I learned to always be looking around and talking to people wherever I was, and lo and behold, here we are today.
Oh, that is awesome. So how long have you guys been doing this together?
Officially, September will be officially around the clock 3 years, and unofficially 7 years.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
So that means that Carly, 7 years ago, decided after fixing up lots of her friends in college and them getting married, she decided she wanted to take on some clients and do this, and that was 7 years ago. And so I'd say for the last 7 years, she's been involved in the business.
I want to know about your clients, but really I want to know, who are your toughest clients?
Ah, good question.
We have a few of those.
Carly can definitely answer that one.
Who are our clients? I'm sorry?
Yeah, they're your toughest clients.
Who are the clients? The clients are the men from all over the country. We are headquartered in New York. Mm-hmm. We are literally in 37 states. We're usually in Los Angeles and San Francisco every 6 to 8 weeks. We are in almost every major cosmopolitan city in the United States, as well as we are global. Mm-hmm. So they're well-educated, well-groomed, upscale, professional, preferably non-smoking, preferably athletically inclined men. Mm-hmm. Most important, that are commitment-minded, picky, and they believe in outsourcing people who are above and beyond good at what they do it for them. Mm. So it's not that they can't meet women.
Right.
It's that they can't meet the right woman for them who has the entire package.
Yeah.
So what does then make for a difficult client? That's what your ideal client is, and then what characteristics would make somebody actually challenging?
More tough, yeah.
I'll
go ahead, Carly.
The difficult client is one who thinks he knows what's best. So you want to introduce him to someone who is absolutely perfect for him, beyond adorable, maybe an 8 out of 10 on the look scale, with 10 being the highest, but with a personality and a body and brains that are a 12 out of 10.
Yeah.
And he says, absolutely not, and he thinks that he knows what works for him.
So is this like somebody who's like looking for like the impossible, is it? Or just that they don't trust, like, that you're going to find them somebody great?
I think it's when they are, let's say, a 6 out of 10 on the look scale, the man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he expects to get a 12 because he hired us.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sure.
See, sometimes men think that money can buy love, and they can draw a picture and then go, here, Janice, here, Carly, make her happen. Poof.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't always work that way, because if you are a man that is not a little bit of a bad boy, you really don't have an edge, but you're average plus looking, and you're smart, and you're obviously very successful, and you're family oriented, and blah, 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 but you're not dating a model with Harvard brains. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way.
Right. Exactly.
And unfortunately, some of the men, you can send picture after picture after picture of gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous women, and they'll say, no.
Do you then ask them what it is that they're actually looking for in looks, like, to get more specific?
Some can't put it into words. They say when they see it, they'll know. And it's just something about her eyes, or the look she has on her face, or the attraction. But it definitely mind boggles me when they say they're not attracted and the woman is a 12 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. And so, okay, so when you meet with these men, do you say, okay, what's your, like, ideal looks-wise in women, or you just sort of, like, you just kind of, like, randomly do it, or how much input do they have?
Depends on the client. What I like to do with the men is have them show me photos of women they've dated and women they find attractive. That way I have an idea of their look, because mm-hmm. obviously it doesn't matter if I think they're attractive or Janice does. It matters if they're attractive. And then we find women who look similar to that we think they'd connect with.
Yep.
And the men get a photo and a bio of the woman, and then they have the choice if they think they should meet her or not. So they do see photos, and they get to say yes or no.
Do you ever think that some of the men who are that picky, even though they are saying that they're interested in finding their true love, that really they have deep-seated commitment issues, possibly?
You know, women sometimes think that, but no, I don't think so. Because at the end of the day, as I said to a woman I was on the phone with for a very long time this morning, who I haven't spoken to in a while, and she's unfortunately still single, and she's been dating a lot, and I asked her for some of the profiles of the guys that she was dating, and of course she was meeting them on the apps or on Match, and mm-hmm. you know, she said, I just don't think that these guys are serious. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, when somebody meets the right person and mm-hmm. it clicks, all the issues go away.
Yeah.
And when they're paying us the fees that we ask for, obviously they are absolutely, without a doubt, commitment-minded and ready. This is not petty cash that we deal with.
Sure, sure.
Can you say on air what that costs?
Well, my fees start in state, which means if somebody is from New York and they are basically 35 to 40 or under. My fee started $50,000 up front and $50,000 on the back end, and they go up to $1 million, so it is not cheap. Carly's fees start, one-on-one matchmaking starts at $25,000 and it goes up to $250,000. So we're dealing with obviously financially independent captains of industries,
yeah, for sure,
who are picky and, you know, they like to spend their money wisely, and since
sure,
love is the most important thing in people's lives,
yeah,
it's a small price to pay to be happy for the rest of your life.
Sure. Are there ever any men that you've actually rejected?
All day long.
All day long. Okay.
Not a lot, but there is, yeah, a small percentage that sneeze on the truth. There's a small percentage that if we think that they are unrealistic with their expectations of what they're looking for, or if we think that they're not emotionally available,
uh-huh,
not a gentleman, not kind, not good-hearted, blah, 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 and for whatever reason they do something wrong or rub us the wrong way or we don't like them, we,
yeah,
don't take them.
That's good. Yeah.
We're much more
selective
with the women.
We really have to
like the
people
women
we work with.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I want to know about, maybe if you guys can tell a couple of your favorite matchup stories.
Ooh, good.
If you have some offhand, like...
There's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of stories. I have a... This is a while ago. They have two kids now who have to be probably close to five or six.
Wow.
A really nice man. His name is actually Joe, and he's a very nice man, but he's not my typical Wall Street dapper, you know, MD at a hedge fund or investment banker or uh-huh, lawyer or whatever. He was a successful guy, but he worked for a very large corporation, and he was some VP of whatever, and he was with them forever. He's not Ivy educated.
Okay.
I think he went to school, but nothing to really speak of. He started working very young, and he was a really, really, really nice guy. He was divorced. He had no children. He wanted children really badly,
mm-hmm,
and for whatever reason, they weren't able to have them. And he needed somebody everybody that was fixing him up was fixing him up with like your typical Wall Street alpha female, mm, you know, women, who was the complete antithesis of what he needed.
Yeah.
So I took him on as a client, and he was not only a matchmaking client, but he also was definitely going to need me to be his shrink and coach him along the way, because he was not too up on, you know, what to do and what not to do.
Uh-huh.
So long story short, I was on a train actually to Washington, and I had my books with me, because it was a long time ago when everything was hard books, not,
yeah,
everything was online. And I was going through my books, and I came to this one girl, and her name is Nicolette, and I came to her and I said, oh my God, oh my God, she's perfect for Joe. So I called her and I left her a message on her cell phone, and it was, I think, 2.5 years since I had actually met her for the first time.
Mm.
And I left her a message just saying, hi, Nicolette, it's Janice Spindell. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm calling to find out if you're still single. You're probably married. You probably already have a baby, but if there's some chance you're still single, please call me back. About 20 minutes later on the train, she calls me back, and I said, are you still single? She had a bit of a snooty attitude. She said, well, no thanks to you. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't have anyone for you. Now I do.
Wow.
I have your husband. They went out. Their first date was at Jones Beach. They had a picnic, and it ended up being all day and all night. That at midnight, they were laying on the sand looking at the stars,
oh,
and dreaming about what their life would be like.
Oh. That's
4 months later, they moved in together.
Wow.
10 months later, they got married, and they had twins,
oh my God,
after trying for a very long time.
Nice.
She was also married. She didn't have kids. So both of them had been married, and neither one of them had had kids, but they wanted them.
Uh-huh.
So they got two for the price of one.
Yeah,
they have
got
a little
bonus
boy and a little girl. They had twins.
Oh,
and I got to hold them when they were 3.5 weeks old, preemies, one in each arm, and literally tears were running down my face, because those two twins never would have been there if it wasn't for me.
Oh my God,
well, that's beautiful.
So sweet.
Oh,
that's
I love
great
that.
Are both of you married?
I just had my 33rd anniversary. I'm with Carly's dad, my husband, for 35 years.
Wow.
Oh, it's so sweet.
And I am
and Carly just got engaged.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Wait, Janice, did you fix her up?
Yeah.
Did you fix up Carly?
Indirectly, Carly met him through what we call one of our women members.
Oh, uh-huh.
And yes, our big belief is from new women come new men, and they absolutely, without a doubt, do. And so that's how Carly met her fiancé, my future son-in-law, through one of our women, actually, in Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
She knew him from 6 years ago. She had gone out with him twice, and they are not for each other.
Uh-huh.
And she kept him, I guess they stayed friends, and she kept his contact information. And she was heading to New York one time, and she reached out to a bunch of guys, which one he was, to basically say, hey, do you have anyone for me, or do you have any jobs for me, because she was thinking of moving there.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said to him, I have this new friend. I think you might like her. And Carly went out with him and drank too much wine on the first date, and the rest was history. A year and a half later, he's the love of her life.
How sweet.
So cute.
Oh. Speaking of first
dates. Someone's ex could be your neck, someone's trash could be your treasure, and it's very important for women to meet new women, because from new women come new men, and I have it in all of my books. It's all about networking.
Yes.
That's true. Hey, speaking of first dates, what is an ideal first date that you would coach a man to try?
Good question.
Where to take her?
Yeah, the whole thing. Like I always say to my clients, I work with a lot of single people too, that you don't really want too extravagant of a first date, because the ambiance can be sort of all encompassing, and then you're not really getting to know the person. But I was just wondering, like, what do you recommend for
a first date?
First dates.
You want to jump on that one, Carly?
Sure. I think that anything that is quiet and intimate is great. Some men prefer drinks, other men prefer dinner. It does
uh-huh.
not matter to me either way. I think a lot of women think that a drink date is an audition, but my philosophy is if there's chemistry, you kind of see where the night takes you and just go with it.
Mm-hmm.
So anywhere upscale that's a quiet restaurant where you can hear each other and sit at a table.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what should women wear? I know that's probably a big question. Like what,
Janice and I disagree on this one.
Ooh, interesting.
I think that anything you feel fabulous in is important. When
okay.
I was single, I used to love wearing my Stuart Weitzman thigh-high over-the-knee boots
yeah.
with a baggy sweater dress, a baggy dress.
I called it her maternity dress.
Moo moos. But, I felt extra confident in that and super sexy. And at the
uh-huh.
end of the day, it's all about how you feel.
Sure.
So if you feel confident in a muumuu or a pregnancy dress, go for it. Where I'll let Janice tell you what she thinks, because we disagree.
And Janice?
I think that a first date, obviously, with a lot of the women I fix up, their first date is their last date.
Mm.
So you have about 30 seconds to make a great impression for that date. That means you should go home or go to a gym after work to shower and make sure your hair is clean and wash your face and reapply makeup. Do not freshen up your makeup that's been on since 8 o'clock in the morning, because men pay attention to detail. And trust me, men are not stupid in that department. They can definitely pick up, her eyes are all cakey, like her eyelashes and her face. Like, ugh, that makeup must be on from this morning. Men are looking for women who are well-educated, attractive, intellectually curious, confident. Confidence is number one.
Oh, wow.
They want someone with clean, pretty hair, beautiful skin, a nice smile, nice eyes, not overly made up. Boobs out is a negative,
yeah.
not a positive. If you have big boobs, you're not supposed to show them.
Boobs out,
I like
that.
You are supposed to dress classy and feminine.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
heels and a dress or a skirt or a sundress, depending on what time of year it is, depending on where you're going, it's always better to be overdressed and feel fabulous than to be underdressed. Young people think it's okay to wear jeans. I'm not saying it's not okay, but the concept, for some reason, about jeans, even on a Sunday night for dinner, even if you have on Louboutins, great jewelry, and a great sexy tank top, I had a client complaining that this Wall Street tycoon was in jeans on a Sunday night. And I'm sure she looked like a 10 because she is one.
Uh-huh. That's very interesting.
So his concept is, jeans, really, on a Sunday night? I said, it's a Sunday night. Just the word jeans and the thought of it turned him off that she wasn't in a little black dress with a pair of heels.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, look, there's different schools of thoughts. I think age plays into it. I think if you're younger, it's cool. It's okay to wear jeans because he'll be happy because he sees your body because they're fitted.
Right.
As long as you're well put together, you have your own sense of style, and you're confident, it doesn't matter. As long as you own it, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to pause.
We're in agreement there.
All right. We're going to pause for a moment for our sponsor, Vantage Point Recovery. Hang tight.
Were you diagnosed with a mental health-related disorder and feel stigmatized so much you find yourself unable to reach out for help? At Vantage Point Recovery, we believe that every single human being has unlimited potential that is often unrealized. While a diagnosis offers a starting place to unpack what is blocking our clients from accessing that part of themselves, we do not believe they are their diagnosis. We believe that within every diagnosis lies a seed of hope and opportunity for our clients to realize more of who they really are so they can become who they want to be. Call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
All right. Welcome back. And by the way, if anybody has any questions for our guests today, Janice and Carly Spindell, the most famous matchmakers, feel free to call us in studio at 323-203-0815. Okay, we were on first dates and what to wear. What's next? How do you find your women?
Multitude of ways. Basically, women find us. Thousands find us because of who we are. We don't advertise. We don't believe in advertising, but the media does a pretty good job of advertising for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been in business for 25 years, so I'm a bit of an icon. It's not hard to find us. If anybody Googles anything on the internet, we come up. And Carly and I, along with 45 other scouts, are out there meeting women just in our day's activities when we're out and about, wherever we are. If we see a great woman, we approach them.
Oh, that's, and for women, they're just in the database, but they don't have to pay any fees, or is it like a consultation
fee? No, that's not correct. That's not correct. For women, they have three different options, and this is obviously on the website. They have three different options. They can come to first and foremost, there's an application.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to fill out an application. There's no guarantee that the application will be approved, but if the application, which takes about 10 minutes and it's completely private, if the application is approved, there's a $25 application fee. If the woman is approved, that gets charged to their credit card. And then their next step, and again, this is on the website in the process, their next step is to option number one, they can come to a group meet and greet with both Carly and I in whatever city we are in, which would be close to them if they are out of New York, which the meet and greets are set in stone once a month. But there are meet and greets in all the major cities across the country. A meet and greet is probably anywhere from, I don't know, it could be 8 people, 10 people, 15 people, really 20 people. It really depends on the city. The more women, sometimes we break up the time slot. And that's a group meeting for a one-time fee of $250. If somebody's a private person because they're in the news or whatever, they have a choice of setting up a private meeting with Carly for a 30-minute one-on-one based on their schedule, which is $500 of a one-time fee. or they can set up a private meeting one-on-one with me for 30 minutes, which is $1,000 one-time fee. And if they want to meet with both of us for a private meeting, it's 30 minutes. For both of us, it's $1,250. So all the women's fees are one-time, mm-hmm. and basically the reason we do that, unlike all the other services out there that claim to be dating services and matchmakers, they're free. We believe, and our men believe, because our fees are very handsome, we want to steer far, far, far away from flakes and gold diggers. Mm. We want women that have commitments in the game, they have skin in the game, and we know that they are vested because they have paid something. And you'd be surprised how something as little as $25 or $250 weeds out the riffraff.
That makes sense. I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can completely understand that. That's
yeah,
smart.
Totally.
Yeah.
Where do you find most of your single people? Do you, like, go to bars? Do you go to restaurants? Do you just go anywhere?
Literally everywhere and anywhere.
Okay.
You know, it literally is a case-by-case situation. My husband and I just literally went for a bike ride after yoga this morning, and I met two women at yoga this morning, and I was in the surf shop getting goggles, and a woman came up to ask me a question, and we started talking, and we're both in Bridgehampton, and I said, oh, where are you? And she's on the ocean, and I said, oh, do you own? And she said, no, I rent. And I said, did you do Airbnb? And she said, no, I used a broker, and she's on one of the prettiest streets out here, and I gave her a card. She was with a daughter, an older daughter. Mm-hmm. She was clearly married. And I said, do you live in Manhattan? And she said, yes. And I said, well, this is for all the single friends you have.
Yeah.
And I probably give out about 300 to 400 cards a week.
Wow.
In my daily travels.
Wow. Busy.
And yeah. Everybody knows somebody that's single.
Single.
Everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
Carly meets women a lot in bathrooms and restaurants.
Yeah, no, that it does. It pays
I'm
to
not
be.
Sure why, but that's where it happens.
Yeah. And then where are most of the single people?
Everywhere.
Okay, so it's not like what, like New York as opposed to, you know, another place?
Absolutely not. Actually, the statistics show that the highest rate of single people, but they're not in the socioeconomic level that we deal with, is uh-huh. in Denver.
Oh, really?
Really?
That's
yeah,
funny.
I did
yeah,
not
the
know
last
that.
Report. Yeah, it was weird.
Do you find
it was Denver? I don't know if it's the colleges or what, but
oh,
it was
yeah.
Denver. And you know, look, there are single people everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I mean, Oklahoma, Indiana, Michigan, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco, Miami, D.C., Boston. I mean,
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Sure. I have a curious question, and I don't even know that you can answer this, but if you can, please do. Do you guys notice a difference between genders in terms of which gender tends to be more picky or has more unrealistic expectations?
I actually find women, but I'm not sure if Dennis agrees or disagrees.
You find women to be picky?
Well, it depends on how you want to define picky.
Okay.
You know, men, there's a very big difference. Men are visual.
Mm-hmm.
It's in their DNA. It's not their fault. They fall in love through their eyes.
Right.
So men need women who are attractive. End of story. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. They want what I've coined the 4 B's, beauty, brains, body, and balance.
Mm-hmm.
So men need women who take care of themselves, who lead a healthy lifestyle. Again, not to be repetitive, but it is what it is. We're just the messengers. Men want women that are pretty,
yeah.
naturally pretty. Sandra Bullock look-alike, Jennifer Aniston look-alike, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, naturally pretty, not a lot of makeup, not a high maintenance.
Yeah, sure.
Not a high maintenance type of a girl.
Yeah, that makes, so you feel like most people
so,
want more than like the down-to-earth kind of, you know, look as opposed to like the Victoria's Secret model.
Well, nobody's turning away a Victoria's Secret model, assuming she's intellectually challenging and intellectually
right.
stimulating, because there's nothing that's sexier, more sexy to a man than a woman who's smarter than him.
Right, right.
So you're asking who's the pickiest. I mean, years and years and years ago when I first started, I took on women clients. And I stopped that so fast because it was enough to give me a nervous breakdown. And, of course, when Carly first started, she took on women clients, and she stopped that because it was enough to give her a nervous breakdown. So when she said women are pickier, it's true. Men are picky in terms of they want a beautiful woman who's smart with a great body.
Yeah.
That's not hard.
Right.
So you deliver that, and then you just leave the rest up to chemistry in the universe.
Right.
And since we have a lot of great, great, great women, we pride ourselves on the quality and the integrity of the women we have, and the men for that matter.
Yeah.
But women are impossible. They're impossible. They're needy. They're annoying. They nag. They have selective hearing. They have selective memories. I mean, it mind boggles me.
Yeah.
Mind boggles me because I spend a lot of time with women, and I have to tell you, I mean, some of them look in magic mirrors, and it's really sad what they see because they're not really, it's a reality check.
So funny. I find this so interesting. I love this. I actually set up a couple who just got married like about a year and a half ago, and they just had their first baby. But like, yeah, I just find this so fascinating and interesting. You know, what a cool profession. I mean, and especially if you're outgoing, I can imagine that just works as such an advantage for you, you know, just meeting all these people and, you know, shooting the shit, figuring it out.
It's a lot of fun. It's really a lot of fun, but after a while sometimes,
yeah,
it can be a little overkill, depending on the women.
Sure,
sure.
That's so funny, the women. The catty.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Not at all.
Women are tough.
They're
we
very
are just
tough.
A tough breed.
I just find they think they know what's best, and they don't want any feed. Not everyone, of course. But they don't want any feedback, and a lot of them are not willing to kind of open their mind and be open-minded. You know, they think they need XYZ, and they're not going to get along with anyone who's not XYZ.
Uh-huh.
By the time most of the people come to you, have they already burned through a lot of other systems, like the different online systems, or do you get a lot of people just fresh out? They're like, they're at that age, they want to meet the right lady, and they just come directly to you.
I think a mix of both. I think a mix of both. You know, our clients are private and believe in outsourcing. The same way you can go on all the different real estate websites and, you know, sort through all the riffraff yourself, and then maybe find a good option, or you can hire a real estate broker who will do all the vetting for you and then show you only the winning apartments. That's what we do, and that's what men know, which is why they come to us.
I see.
You know, we make the vetting process really easy. We screen everyone. We personally meet with them. And then on a silver platter, we deliver exactly what they're looking for, where some people go to other matchmakers and have terrible experiences, and then they come to us.
I see. Sure. Yeah. Do you feel like most of the people who come to you then are really serious? Like, I mean, is it rare to find somebody who's kind of like still wish-washy and not sure?
No. Well, as Jenna said, that's why the fees are so high, because you don't hire us, you know, retain us for our services, spend a lot of time with us if you're not serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I'm curious.
Men are not looking to get laid. They're not looking for arm candy. They're not looking for trophy wives. Men are looking for a woman that they can spend the rest of their life with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's,
you know, whether it's the piece of paper with the ring or not, it's irrelevant to some people.
What's the most amount of matches you had to do for someone for them to have a successful match?
Oh, interesting.
12.
12. It was right there. She's like, 12.
Yeah.
A dozen. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Two men in 25 years married their 12th introduction.
Wow. Oh,
but you still did it. I mean, that's what's like great about it. You know what I mean? It's like, that's so cool. Wow.
Has anybody ever just
super
like...
super fun and super rewarding and super satisfying.
So let's say somebody goes through like 5 or 6 matches and is not happy. Do they get as many until they are happy, or is there some point where you just tell them that it's just not going to work?
No, absolutely. It's not unlimited. We don't deal with a little boy in a candy store with a sweet tooth.
I just love that analogy.
Yeah.
We cap it at 12 introductions over a 12-month period. It's not a lifetime thing, and it's not unlimited.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's one per month, basically.
Nope.
Oh.
That's what the thought process is, but no, it's not really. I mean,
okay.
both of us usually start off when we get a new client. Like, I just got a new client on Monday night, and I was looking for matches for him last night. And, you know, if I'm jumping up and down and have premonitions for two women or three women, I will start him off with two, maximum three, because men can't focus on more than two. And you don't know people's schedules. It's summertime. People, half the world's in Europe. People are traveling. People this, people that. So, you know, you want to give somebody choices, and you want to get feedback, and you know, can't account for chemistry. That's an intangible nobody can account for. And
sure,
you can't account whose personality is, you know, going to be vanilla, and who's going to have an edge, and who's theatrical, and who's this and who's that. And, you know, I went out, I fixed a guy up with a girl, I don't know, three nights ago, whenever it was. I think he went out with her Saturday night. And he calls me on Sunday, have you heard from her? And I said, no, she probably thinks I'm not going to contact her on Sunday. It's respectful, but of course, he's the client, so he can call me at any hour. And I said, I'll let you know when I hear from her. And sure enough, Monday morning, I get an email. I went out with such and such last night. I really liked him. I had a nice time. I would enjoy seeing him again.
Aww.
Now, that by itself is a little bit of a bland, boring email. And he basically said, I can't get excited about this. Like, she's not interesting. She's pretty. She's smart. She's blah.
Oh.
She's just vanilla.
Interesting.
And it's sad. I said, you have to go out with her again.
I'm curious to find out who this was.
So what happened?
So, unfortunately, we can bring the horse to water. We can't make him drink if he wants Diet Coke.
Right.
You know, if I really carry on and make him go out with her again, I would literally, which I might do, talk to her and say to her, you know what, Rebecca, you need to, like, shoot some personality into your body. Like, you need to take it up a step, or you're not going to be successful with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, men want someone that's, you know, I call it playful. People like the banter. You know, you need humor. You need interesting conversation. And she's boring. I hate to say it,
yeah,
but she's boring.
And that, I'm sure there's, and there's the perfect person for that. You know what I mean? Like, if you have, like, an accountant or somebody, like, it would be, like, perfect, you know? So she'll probably.
Well, funny. My accountant's a hot guy who's not boring. So
that's,
it's the complete antithesis. You know, you never know. You can't do boring with boring.
Right.
You usually have to fix up a boring person with a firecracker or an A type of personality to balance the yin and the yang. Out.
Makes sense. Sure. I have a question about sex on a first date, on a fourth date. Do you have a rule, a hard and fast rule about that?
Well, Carly can start with this one.
We don't. I personally don't like to get involved. I'm a huge advocate, and I tell everyone, of safe sex and STD testing. I think you should never jump into bed before you're monogamous, and I make that clear. But I don't really get involved in that. I have a new client who is supersexual, and he went out with a woman who's very accomplished and very well regarded in her field. She's beautiful. She's the whole package. And he said she was a little stiff, and he couldn't imagine jumping into bed with her. And I said, well, it's a little too soon for that. That was only the first date.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not my place to tell a man when to have sex. So I don't believe there is a time. I think that you should both talk about it and make sure it occurs when you're comfortable and you're in a monogamous relationship.
Mm-hmm. Janice, do you agree?
Yeah.
Or?
My answer is, and I've obviously surveyed lots of men all over the country when I did the second book. You know, women think that all men want is to get into their pants, and of course men think all women want is to get into their wallet. And those are two very old adage wives' tales.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there's a lot of horny people out there, but most men will feel, as a matter of fact, I had lunch with this unbelievable guy yesterday who, if I could still be there having dinner if it was up to me, and he said to me, he was married for 17 years, and I said, did you cheat on her? And he looked at me like I had a disease, and he goes, absolutely not, I would never do that. And I said, okay. And he said, you know, I don't believe in having sex right away. He said, I don't think it's good. I think it's lust. And if someone's going to have sex with me right away, that means that she's sleeping with everyone else in town.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for him, his role model was his father, and his father every day of the week had a different woman over for lunch.
So he went the opposite way.
Where was the mother?
Somewhere else.
Apparently, his father was married lots of times. And his sister is a half-sister, not a real sister, which is why they look nothing alike. Yeah, I found the whole story was fascinating. But at the end of the day, I think sex is, you know, look, it can, if it's natural and if it feels right, then, you know, that's the right time. Like, people always say to me, is it the fifth date? Is it the tenth date? All I can say is that if women jump into bed too fast with men, they're basically hussies. And men think, oh, well, she's doing it with me. She's doing it with everybody. And he's not marrying her. He'll sleep with her, but he's not marrying her.
So,
at the end of the day, as Carly said, when you're in a monogamous relationship and you've had the, in quotes, exclusive conversation, then sex comes into the picture.
That makes complete sense to me.
So cool. I love this stuff.
Okay.
And it is mandatory, and 99% of the people don't listen and don't do it, for people to practice safe sex.
Yes.
And it mind boggles me, that most people don't. Even doctors don't.
Ugh, it's upsetting.
Do you think that's because
of... Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Do you think that's because of arrogance or, you know, that attitude of, well, it's not going to happen to me, or she's a clean girl, so I don't have to worry? Like, what?
They just get caught up
in... Well, I think all of the above, and it's like you can't go swimming with a raincoat on.
Right.
Yeah.
So. I mean, men have, like, a shtick. Like, really? Whatever.
That's a good way.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so we're about running out of time. Tell us about your books and the website and all that so listeners can go follow up.
Yes.
The website is www.JaniceSpindellMatchmaker.com, spelled with two S's, one L, all one word. There's obviously, people can click on men, people can click on women, and the process and everything is on there. And they can click on books and see the books. Carly's books are all over on the internet, on Amazon, as well as, where else, Carly?
On the website.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Both of the books are on the website. If you go on, click on books, all of our books are on there. And there are questionnaires in my first book that we like women to fill out for themselves because it really makes them think. And it tells us a lot about them that normally we wouldn't be asking those kind of questions.
Sure. Well, you were both so wonderful, so interesting. Thank you so much for being on. Really cool stuff.
Oh, thank you for having us on.
Sure. Have a great day.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Sure. Lots more matches. Someday you'll have, you can say that you have 20,000.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit more. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay. And let's shout out a word for Vantage Point Recovery. And
yes.
And then we'll talk about next week.
Do you swear off drugs or alcohol in the morning, only to succumb to the thought later in the day? According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on drug use and health, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from addiction and mental health-related disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with addiction and mental health-related disorders, has a place for you. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
So that about wraps up our show. But Kelly, I get to spend so much time with you this weekend.
I'm so excited.
And we're going glamping.
Glamping.
We can't really call it camping. I got the Airstream. You got the safari
tent.
The boys are going to have so much fun.
I'm very excited. I can't even tell you.
Their own little tent.
But I don't even feel like it's glamping if you have a toilet outside. Like, I would consider a toilet inside the tent or wherever you are more glamping. So I'm going to say I'm going camping and you're going glamping.
I got a toilet inside
the
Airstream. It's a tiny toilet. We've stayed in them before, but they're so cute.
That's so funny. It's like an airplane toilet.
So cute. Any other plans for this week?
No, with you. No, nothing else. I got to pack and do all that, but no, okay. I'm excited.
Very exciting.
Cool.
Okay. And then next week, you know what? I can't recall. Who do we have on
next week?
Teen something?
Oh, no. We have Patty.
Fitzgerald.
I think it's Patty Fitzgerald. She talks about safety and how to be safe, and I think that'll be really informative for our parents with kids and kind of how to keep them safe and things like that. So that'll be really great.
Absolutely. Okay. Right, well, everybody have a great week, and we look forward to speaking with you next week.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.